All right, so we'll continue Chapter 5 of Harry Potter. And if you remember, where we were last time, Hagrid had just gone off to get himself pissed drunk, and Harry was left alone in the witch shop, in Madame Malkin's robes for all occasions. Madame Malkin was a squat, smiling witch, dressed all in mauve. "Hogwarts, dear," she said when Harry began to speak. "Got the lot here, another young man being fitted up just now, in fact." In the back of the shop, a boy with a pale, pointed face was standing on a footstool, while a second witch was pinning up his long black robes. Madame Malkin stood Harry on a stool next to him, slipped a long robe over his head, and began to pin it to the right length. "Hello," said the boy. "Hogwarts, too?" "Yes," said Harry. Wait, I gotta have different voices for these two guys. Okay. "Yes," said Harry. "My father's next door buying books, and mother's up the street looking at wands," said the boy. He had a bored, drawling voice. "Then I'm going to drag them off to Tuket racing brooms. I don't see why first years can't have their own. I think I'll bully father into getting me one, and I'll smuggle it in somehow." Harry was strongly reminded of Dudley. "Have you got your own broom?" the boy went on. "No," said Harry. "Play Quidditch at all?" "No," said Harry again, wondering what on earth Quidditch could be. "I do. Father says it's a crime if I'm not picked to play for my house, and I must say I agree. Know what house you'll be in yet?" "No," said Harry, feeling more stupid by the minute. "Well, no one really knows until they get there, but do they? But I know I'll be in Slytherin. All our family have been. Imagine being in Hufflepuff. I think I'd leave, wouldn't you?" "Hmm," said Harry, wishing he could say something a bit more interesting. "I say, look at that man," said the boy suddenly, nodding towards the front window. Hagrid was standing there, grinning at Harry and pointing at two large ice cream cones to show he couldn't come in. "That's Hagrid," said Harry, pleased to know something the boy didn't. "He works at Hogwarts." "Oh," said the boy, "I've heard of him. He's sort of a servant, isn't he?" "He's the gamekeeper," said Harry. He was liking the boy less and less every second. "Yes, exactly. I heard he's sort of a savage. Lives on in a hut on the school grounds, and every now and then he gets drunk, tries to do magic, and ends up setting fire to the bed." "I think he's brilliant," said Harry coldly. "Do you?" said the boy, with a slight sneer. "Why is he here? Why is he with you? Where are your parents?" "They're dead," said Harry shortly. He didn't feel much like going in the matter with this boy. "Oh, sorry," said the other, not sounding sorry at all. "But they were our kind, weren't they?" "They were a witch and a wizard, if that's what you mean." "I don't really think they should let the other sort in, do you? They're just not the same. They've never been brought up to know our ways. Some of them have never even heard of Hogwarts until they got the letter, I imagine. I think they should keep it in the old wizarding families. What's your surname, anyway?" Man, this guy's such a jerk. But before Harry could answer, Madame Malkin said, "That's you, what was her accent? Oh, she's gotta be French, doesn't she? Okay, we'll just switch it up a little bit. "That's you, my dear." And Harry, not sorry for an excuse to stop talking to the boy, hopped down from the footstool. "Well, I'll see you at Hogwarts, I suppose," said the drawling boy. Harry was rather quiet as he ate the ice cream Hagrid had brought him, chocolate and raspberry with chopped nuts.
"What's up?" said Hagrid.
"Nothing," Harry lied. They stopped to buy parchment and quills. Harry cheered up a bit when he found a bottle of ink that changed color as he wrote. When they had left the shop, he said, "Hagrid, what's Quidditch?"
"Blimey, Harry, I keep forgetting how little you know, not knowing about Quidditch."
"Don't make me feel worse," said Harry, and he told Hagrid about the pale boy and Madame Malkin's. "And he said that people from Muggle families shouldn't even be allowed in."
"You're not from a Muggle family. If he'd have known who you were, he's grown up knowing your parents, if his names are Witherington folk. You saw what everyone in the Lucky Cauldron was like when they saw you. Anyway, what does he know about it? Some of the best I ever saw were the ones with magic in them and a long line of Muggles. Look at your mum. Look what she had for a sister."
"So what is Quidditch?"
"It's our sport. Wizarding sport. It's like soccer in the Muggle world. Everyone follows Quidditch. Played up in the air on broomsticks, and there's four balls. Sort of hard to explain the rules.
And what are Slytherin and Hufflepuff?
Schoolhouses. There's four. Everyone says Hufflepuff are a lot of duffers, but...
Oh, but I'm in Hufflepuff, said Harry gloomily.
Better Hufflepuff than Slytherin, said Hagrid darkly. There's not a single witch or wizard who went bad that wasn't in Slytherin. You know who was one.
You know who was at Hogwarts?
Years and years ago, said Hagrid.
They bought Harry's school books in a shop called Flourish and Blots, where the shelves were stacked to the ceilings with books as large as paving stones bound in leather. Books the size of postage stamps and covers of silk. Books full of peculiar symbols and a few books with nothing in them at all. Even Dudley, who never read anything, would have been wild to get his hands on some of these. Hagrid almost had to drag Harry away from curses and counter-curses, bewitch your friends and befuddle your enemies with the latest revenges. Hair loss, jelly legs, tongue-tying, and much, much more. By Professor Vindictus Viridian. I was trying to find out how to curse Dudley.
I'm not saying that's not a good idea, but you're not to use magic in the Muggle world, except under very special circumstances, said Hagrid. And anyway, you couldn't work with any of them curses yet. You'll need a lot more study before you get to that level.
Hagrid wouldn't let Harry buy a solid gold cauldron either. It says pewter on the list. But they got a nice set of scales for weighing potion ingredients and a collapsible brass telescope. Then they visited the apothecary, which was fascinating enough to make up for its horrible smell, a mixture of raw eggs and rotted cabbages. Barrels of slimy stuff stood on the floor. Jars of herbs, dried roots, and brown powders lined the walls. Bundles of feathers, strings of fangs, and snarled claws hung from the ceiling. When Hagrid asked the man behind the counter for a supply of some basic potion ingredients for Harry, Harry examined silver unicorn horns at 21 galleons each, and minuscule glittery black beetle eyes, 5 newts a scoop. Outside the apothecary, Hagrid checked Harry's list again.
Just your one left. And yeah, I still haven't got you a birthday present.
Harry felt himself go red. You don't have to.
I know I don't have to. Tell you what, I'll get your animal. Not a toad. Toads went out of fashion years ago. You'd be laughed at. And I don't like cats. They make me sneeze. I'll get you an owl. All the kids want owls. They're dead useful, carrying mail and everything.
20 minutes later, they left Aelop's Owl Emporium, which had been dark and full of rustling and flickering jewel-bright eyes. Harry was now carrying a large cage that held a beautiful snowy owl, fast asleep with her head under her wing. He couldn't stop stammering his thanks, sounding just like Professor Quirrell.
Don't mention it, said Hagrid gruffly. Don't expect you've had a lot of presents from them Dursleys. Just Ollivander's left now. Only place for wands, Ollivander's, and you gotta have the best wand.
A magic wand. This was what Harry had been really looking forward to. The last shop was narrow and shabby. Peeling gold letters all over the door read, Ollivander's, makers of fine wands since 386 BC. A single wand lay on a faded purple cushion in the dusty window. A tinkling bell rang somewhere in the depths of the shop as they stepped inside. It was a tiny place, empty except for a single spindly chair that Hagrid sat on to wait. Harry felt strangely as though he had entered a very strict library. He swallowed a lot of new questions that had just occurred to him, and instead looked at the thousands of narrow boxes piled neatly right up to the ceiling. For some reason, the back of his neck prickled. The very dust and silence in here seemed to tingle with some secret magic. "Good afternoon," said a soft voice. Harry jumped. Hagrid must have jumped too, because there was a very loud crunching noise, and he quickly got off the spindly chair. An old man was standing before them, his wide, pale eyes shining like moons through the gloom of the shop. "Hello," Harry said awkwardly. "Ah, yes," said the man. "Yes, yes, I thought I'd be seeing you here soon. Harry Potter." It wasn't a question. "You have your mother's eyes. It seems only yesterday she was in here herself, buying her first wand. 10 1/4 inches long, swishy, made of willow. Nice wand for charm work." Mr. Ollivander moved closer to Harry. Harry wished he would blink. Those silvery eyes were a bit creepy. "Your father, on the other hand, favored a mahogany wand, 11 inches, pliable. A little more power, and excellent for transfiguration. Well, I say your father favored it. It's really the wand that chooses the wizard, of course. Mr. Ollivander had come so close that he and Harry were almost nose to nose. Harry could see himself reflected in those misty eyes. And that's where Mr. Ollivander touched the lightning scar on Harry's forehead with a long white finger. I'm sorry to say I sold the wand that did that, he said softly. 13.5 inches, you. Powerful wand, very powerful, and in the wrong hands, well. If I'd have known what that wand was going to do out in the world. He shook his head, and then, to Harry's relief, spotted Hagrid. Rubius Hagrid, how nice to see you again. Oak, 16 inches, rather bendy, wasn't it? It was,
sir, yes, said Hagrid.
Good wand, that one, but I suppose they snapped it in half when you got expelled, said Mr. Ollivander, suddenly stern.
Yes, they did. Yes,
said Hagrid, shuffling his feet.
I still got the pieces, though, he added brightly.
But you don't use them, said Mr. Ollivander sharply.
Oh, no, sir, no,
said Hagrid quickly. Harry noticed he gripped his pink umbrella very tightly as he spoke. Said Mr. Ollivander, giving Hagrid a piercing look. Well, now, Mr. Potter, let me see. He pulled a long tape measure with silver markings out of his pocket. Which is your wand arm? Well, I'm right-handed, said Harry. Hold out your arm, that's it. He measured Harry from shoulder to finger, then wrist to elbow, shoulder to floor, knee to armpit, and round his head. As he measured, he said, Every Ollivander wand has the core of a powerful magical substance, Mr. Potter. We use unicorn hairs, phoenix tail feathers, and heart strings of dragons. No two Ollivander wands are the same, just as no two dragons, unicorns, and phoenixes are quite the same. And of course, you will never get such good results with another wizard's wand. Harry suddenly realized that the tape measure, which was measuring between his nostrils, was doing this all on its own. Mr. Ollivander was flitting around the shelves, taking down boxes. That will do, he said, and the tape measure crumpled in a heap on the floor. Right then, Mr. Potter. Try this one. Beechwood and dragon heart strings, 9 inches. Nice and flexible. Just take it and give it a wave. Harry took the wand and, feeling foolish, waved it around a bit. Mr. Ollivander snatched it at once out of his hand. Maple and phoenix feather, 7 inches. Quite whippy. Try. Harry tried, but he had hardly raised the wand when it, too, was snatched back by Mr. Ollivander. No. Here, ebony and unicorn hair, 8.5 inches, springy. Go on, try it out. Harry tried, and tried. He had no idea what Mr. Ollivander was waiting for. The pile of tried wands was mounting higher and higher on the spindly chair, but the more wands Mr. Ollivander pulled from the shelves, the happier he seemed to become. Tricky customer, eh? Not to worry, we'll find the perfect match here somewhere. I wonder, now... Yes, why not? Unusual combination, holly and phoenix feather. 11 inches, nice and supple. Harry took the wand. He felt a sudden warmth in his fingers. He raised the wand above his head, brought it down, swishing down through the dusty air, and a stream of red and gold sparks shot from end to end like a firework, throwing dancing spots of light on the walls. Hagrid whooped and clapped, and Mr. Ollivander cried, Oh, bravo! Yes, indeed, very good. Well, how curious, how very curious. He put Harry's wand back in its box, wrapped it in brown paper, still muttering, Curious, curious. Sorry, said Harry, but what's curious? Mr. Ollivander fixed Harry with his pale stare. I remember every wand I've sold, Mr. Potter. Every single wand. It just so happens that the phoenix whose tail feather is in your wand gave another feather, just one other. It's very curious indeed that you should be destined for this wand when its brother, gave you that scar. Harry swallowed. Yes, 13.5 inches. You. Curious indeed how these things happen. The wand chooses the wizard, remember. I think we must expect great things from you, Mr. Potter. After all, he who must not be named did great things too. Terrible, yes, but great. Harry shivered. He wasn't sure he liked Mr. Ollivander too much. He paid 7 gold galleons for his wand, and Mr. Ollivander bowed them from his shop. The late afternoon sun hung low in the sky as Harry and Hagrid made their way back from Diagon Alley, back through the wall, back through the leaky cauldron, now empty. Harry didn't speak at all as they walked down the road. He didn't even notice how much people were gawking at them on the underground, laden as they were with all their funny-shaped packages, with the snowy owl asleep on its cage on Harry's lap. up another escalator, out into Paddington Station. Harry only realized where they were going when Hagrid tapped him on the shoulders.
"Got time for a bite to eat before your train leaves," he said.
He bought Harry a hamburger. They sat down on plastic seats to eat them. Harry kept looking around. Everything looked so strange somehow.
"You all right, Harry? You're very quiet,"
said Hagrid. Harry wasn't sure he could explain. He just had the best birthday of his life, and yet he chewed his hamburger, trying to find the words. "Everyone thinks I'm special," he said at last. "All those people in the Leaky Cauldron, Professor Quirrell, Mr. Ollivander. But I don't know anything about magic at all. How can they expect great things? I'm sorry. I'm famous. I can't even remember what I'm famous for. I don't even know what happened when the night my parents died." Hagrid leaned across the table. Behind the wild beard and eyebrows, he wore a very kind smile.
"Don't you worry, Harry. You'll learn fast enough. Everyone starts at the beginning at Hogwarts. You'll be just fine. Just be yourself. I know it's hard. You've been singled out, and that's always hard. But you'll have a great time at Hogwarts. I did. Still do, as a matter of fact."
Hagrid helped Harry onto the train that would take him back to the Dursleys, then handed him an envelope.
"Your ticket for Hogwarts," he said. "First of September, King's Cross. It's all on your ticket. Any problem with the Dursleys, send me a letter with your owl. She'll know where to find me. See you soon, Harry."
The train pulled out of the station. Harry wanted to watch Hagrid until he was out of sight. He rose in his seat and pressed his nose against the window, but he blinked and Hagrid had gone. And that's the end of chapter 5. I hope you liked that. We'll get chapter 6 pretty soon. I love you so much, Carrie. Good night.